In one of democracy's great rituals, the White House, sometime before noon today, will release its budget request of Congress for the 2017 fiscal year. Now, the usual cliche is the budget is dead on arrival at Capitol Hill, but is it really? We get more now from CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, maybe this is the year that things could go a little bit more smoothly, as we've talked about earlier, because of the budget agreement. What's your expectation later?
Well, that's right. So people always say it's dead on arrival when a president of one party proposes a budget and sends it to the Congress run by another party. And sort of at the headline level, that's true. The president, for example, is proposing this new tax on every barrel of oil, $10 on every barrel of oil, which he said he would use the revenue to pay for roads and bridges and investments and basic research and all of the priorities that he's been talking about for 8 years, all of which Congress has ignored. And of course, the idea of raising taxes on oil in an election year is a total non-starter. So at the headline level, dead on arrival. But as many people in the departments and agencies probably know better than I do, in the tiny fine print, a lot of the things that the president is proposing are going to be accepted by Congress, maybe not exactly at the level that he's proposing, but probably pretty close to it. So the interesting thing will be how many proposals that the president is making at that kind of fine print level are in line with the budget deal that was agreed to last fall, this two-year budget deal that lifted the spending caps. I wouldn't say they broke them because they're in theory supposed to come back, but they lifted the spending caps for the year we're now in and also for the year to come, essentially freezing them at about just a little bit less than $1.1 trillion altogether, about 51% for defense and the rest for everything that's not defense. So in the fine print, the interesting thing will be, is the president proposing realistic numbers that Congress will just put a check next to and move on to some bigger political fights or not?
For the average program manager, isn't it safe to say that by the time his or her budget makes it into the request, probably that person's deputy secretary or even maybe that person, him or herself, has been before the Hill to talk about the program so that there's already some agreement behind the scenes before it makes it into the final request?
Well, that is true going back a year. In other words, it is definitely true that if Congress has been doing its job and if the agency has been doing its job, that yes, there's been some communication between at least the subcommittee, right? Just to remind people a second, all of this stuff is decided at the first pass by 12 subcommittees in the House and a matching set of 12 in the Senate that have jurisdiction over sort of an odd hodgepodge. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward, like agriculture and the FDA is one bill, and sometimes it's a totally incongruous hodgepodge, like, the Treasury and IRS and is mixed in with all kinds of random agencies. So if the agencies and the program managers have been doing their job, they understand one another. And now the process gets launched anew, and in theory, these 12 subcommittees, which they say they're going to try and return to so-called regular order, will pretty soon be having hearings to hear at a pretty granular level what the programs and agencies and departments want to do next year and what would be different.
I guess a lot of the discussion within the executive branch has happened since the original requests were put in by the components, and then there's this whole pass-back process
between them,
and Office of Management and Budget.
That's right, and that has been delayed just a little bit. I was actually surprised it wasn't delayed more. In theory, by law, the budget is supposed to come out on the first Tuesday in February, which this is not. But it's only 1 week late, and there's really no punishment for this. Many presidents have proposed budgets even later in the winter than this. So that suggests that the passback process was pretty quick, that since the Congress did and the president did come together last fall on this budget agreement that sets these top line numbers, that probably, the vast majority of it should be pretty straightforward.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And this year, there have been some substantial leaks of large parts of the budget. I shouldn't say leaks, but previews.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stories have been published. You have published some at Roll Call. We have at Federal News Radio. Is that unusual for big pieces of it to be let known ahead of the official release to Congress?
Oh, different presidents do it different ways in different years for different strategic reasons. I think that what's happened this year is, as the president's people have said, they're trying to, quote, start a conversation. So leaking out or putting out, and then you're right, it wasn't leaked. It wasn't sort of obtained surreptitiously. The White House has floated these trial balloons is to try and get as much attention for these trial balloons as possible, sort of during a pause in the news cycle. I mean, to be honest, there's not much going on in Washington officially right now. The country's eyes are more or less focused on the New Hampshire primary, which by coincidence is today, or maybe it's not a coincidence. And so the president's got sort of some running room to get some headlines for things that he knows aren't going to become law or even be taken all that seriously by Congress, but that at least give him a chance to use his bully pulpit one final time to talk about his priorities and maybe help in so doing. There may be a political point to that, to try and help Secretary Clinton or Senator Sanders.
Because in the last 24 years, we have had 3 two-term presidents. And so this is an every 8-year type of thing where we really know for sure it's the last time. Is there any particular quality to the budget that the 8th year sometimes produces, such as a grab for legacy, for example?
I think a grab for legacy at the sort of at the rhetorical level, but not so much at the programmatic level. I mean, right. So I think presidents usually put out budgets for the history books, say, here's how I think the country should be run.
In many ways, an administration gets, say, in 4 years, 3 of its own budgets, and then kind of half of what they're going to propose for their last year in office and half of what they inherited when they came in, because they do a lot of alteration and probably expect their successor to do some alteration.
That's right.
So you really, in 8 years, you only get really 7, maybe 6 budgets that you have full say over, irrespective of Congress.
That's exactly right. So presidents want to make use of the most sort of at-bats that they've got. Some presidents, Jimmy Carter famously, even after he had been defeated by Ronald Reagan in 1980, a couple of months later, in early 1981, just days before the inauguration, he not only sent this voluminous written State of the Union message to Congress, but he also put out a full-on budget that landed a couple of days before Ronald Reagan's inauguration that was just sort of his way of saying, I don't agree with this, with my successor on much policy, and I want to make my mark. I doubt that that will happen. I don't know. Maybe that's a lot of work for no particular reason, and I tend to doubt that no matter what happens on November 6th, we will see another budget from Barack Obama's OMB.
Well, Jimmy Carter got a nice trip to Iran out of it anyway, right the day after inauguration, or maybe it was inauguration day. Just give us a brief rundown of what is in store for Congress this coming week. They're going to get this big document. I guess some of them still take it in paper form, but
yeah,
it's mostly electronic. Then what happens the rest of the week?
Well, the bit of a surprise there, which is what's not going to happen. Usually the budget comes on day one of the budget process, and day two features more of what you described as we started talking this morning, sort of one of the great Washington rituals. Part of the great Washington ritual is that the president sends up his top budget people, usually the head of OMB, sometimes the Treasury Secretary, to talk to Congress, to testify to Congress about the budget, and to basically give the sales pitch in person and before the TV cameras, because that's important so that people watch it on TV. Once again, that is not going to happen. Both Tom Price, the Republican from Georgia who runs the House Budget Committee, and Mike Enzi, the Republican from Wyoming who runs the Senate Budget Committee, said this is a pointless exercise. The president's people aren't serious. We can write a budget full well without this testimony. So in a little bit of an interesting move to my ear, given that the Republicans have talked all about returning regular order to the process and doing it in an orderly, systematic, by-the-book fashion, this is kind of a by-the-book move that they're not going to do this year, which is interesting.
Well, I guess maybe people don't particularly like each other very much by this point in a given presidency. David Hawkings is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks, and enjoy your budget day.
Thank you. See you later, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.